Well, if you would, take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. So we started this brand new year of 24, actually a day early on December the 31st. But we started and we looked at, took some time and looked in God's Word about God's great love for all human beings and how God would love to have all people get saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So we saw God's great love for human beings, for us. And then last week we looked at God's forgiveness and some of the usages of the words that are used for forgiveness and remission are very humbling, where God pardoned us freely and graciously as if we had never sinned and then treats us as if we're innocent. And we read some of those things and it's very humbling, but that's how big God's forgiveness is. And so, you know, the scriptures say if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And it also says that we should forgive others even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. And so this morning, we've covered love, we've covered forgiveness. This morning, we're going to look at three consecutive parables, and we'll see God's love in all three of them. And in the third one, we'll see God's forgiveness. So Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew unto him, unto Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Publicans were tax collectors in Israel, working for the Romans. And they were pretty much despised by everybody because they were had a reputation of being dishonest, cheating people. And so you have there the publicans and sinners wanted to hear what Jesus Christ had to teach. There they were. Meanwhile, the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, were criticizing Jesus Christ for being with sinners. Really interesting. They were murmuring, criticizing, and condemning him. They were not there to hear, but they're about to get an earful, as we'll see. So, verse 3. And he spake this parable, this is the first parable, unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. This is the first of three consecutive parables, and it's noteworthy that a parable is an extended or elongated simile. So we learned about this when we went to school a long time ago. A simile is simply a comparison, and it's usually employs the words like or as. For example, in football, you might say something like, when that guy goes through the line, he's like a freight train. It's comparing him. He's not really a freight train, but he's like a freight train, right? Or he's as strong as a freight train. That's the comparison. So that's a simile. But a parable is a long simile. There's a narrative to it. And Jesus Christ, if you're familiar with the Gospels, he taught many times in parables. And you might remember things like, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And along with teaching parables, Jesus Christ spoke things they easily understood. For us, anybody know shepherds? Anybody got a friend that's a shepherd? So, you know, the Bible, we have to understand words in light of the biblical culture to see an even greater meaning. And in Bible times, shepherds were very well-respected people. They were very trustworthy. They were very responsible. And remember when Jesus Christ said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, but the hireling, when there's trouble, runs away. So a true good shepherd, very trustworthy, very responsible. So people hearing this parable about a shepherd would get it. They would definitely understand it. So verse 4 again. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and then go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise, here's the comparison. This story I just told you is likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. See, the word likewise there sets up the comparison. A shepherd rejoicing, finding his one lost sheep, is like the joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And that certainly fits with what we've seen, you know, in the last couple of weeks looking at this. God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him, not willing that any should perish, but that all people would get saved. If you keep your finger here for a minute, we're going to go to Matthew 18, and then we'll be right back to Luke. Matthew 18. Jesus Christ actually taught this parable about the shepherd and the lost sheep recorded in Matthew 18. So we know he taught it at least twice. So I guess it's okay to teach something a second time. Jesus Christ, the master teacher. In Matthew 18, verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goes into the mountains and seeks that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoice more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. God doesn't want anyone lost. So back to Luke, if you would. Luke 15. What were the scribes and Pharisees there murmuring about, the religious leaders, that Jesus Christ was hanging out with sinners? Jesus Christ is teaching about the joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. So like I said, they're getting an earful. Next parable, verse 8. We're in Luke 15, 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, here's the comparison to the little story. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Understanding the Bible culture really helps us to understand this parable. What are 10 pieces of silver? What? She lost a coin and now she's panicked, clears the whole house, finds it, calls everybody together and they celebrate. To our Western minds, we're like, well, that's kind of weird. But when you understand the Bible culture, the 10 pieces of silver, they were a special gift given to her by her husband when they got married. It was not expensive, but it was the most precious gift that she had. her husband would have given her other gifts, but this was the most precious gift that she could get. And on special occasions, she would take them out, put them in her hair, special occasions. If she lost one, they cannot be replaced. The consequences of losing one was very harsh. They believed that if you even lost one of those 10, you'll appreciate this, Margie. Couldn't go running to Margie going, quick, make me one. They believed that if you lost even one, then you would have lost God's blessings as well. And her husband could have banned her from the house until it was found. That's their culture. We can look at their culture and go, that's weird. Well, maybe if they saw our culture, they'd go, that's pretty weird. But that was their culture. And in the event that her husband died before her, those 10 pieces of silver went back to the family. So it was a very, very precious thing. Now, since those listening to Jesus speak the parable, it really spoke loud to them, right? Mm-hmm. They understood. And his point is so very clear in that parable. A woman finding one of her lost pieces of the 10 silver, of the silver, is like the joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. And again, God so loves the world, everybody. We can see that God's great desire and love that God has for every person. When even one person accepts Jesus Christ as Lord, believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead and they get born again, when just one person does that, there's great joy and rejoicing in heaven. We're going to read the third parable and we'll see both God's love and forgiveness. And remember, the religious leaders are there sneering or whatever they're doing, murmuring, upset that he's hanging out with publicans and sinners. So we're in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Woo-hoo! Went and lived it up. He definitely, first of all, broke culture. In Bible times, the son stayed with dad. If dad was a fisherman, son was a fisherman. If dad was a farmer, son would be a farmer. That was their culture. Totally different, you know, in our culture. You know, kids grow up and they go, hey, I want to go do this or I want to go do that. But in Bible culture, he didn't do that. So he totally broke culture and wanted his inheritance now. Okay, here you go. And then he went and blew it all. With riotous living. Not, you know, a bad investment. Riotous living, whatever that means. But verse 14, and when he had spent all, he blew it all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Uh-oh. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he, that citizen, sent him into his fields to feed swine. And that was the most disgusting job you could ever have in Bible times, was feeding pigs, being a pig feeder. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. That's what he was eating, pig food. And no man gave unto him. Wow, he arrived with all this money, right? And just spent it on riotous living. Bet he had some friends. Hey, I want to hang out with you. Yeah, don't worry, I'll pick up the tab. But now he's broken. He doesn't have any friends anymore. They're gone. No man gave unto him. So verse 17 is pretty enlightening. And when he came to himself, duh, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? My dad has servants that have more food to eat, that they more than they need even. They have it to spare. Here's what I'm going to do. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, meaning against God, and before you. And I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. I'm going to go back to my dad, and I'm going to tell him I've sinned before God and before you. Admitting his sin. Remember what we read last week in 1 John? If we confess our sin to the Father, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he came to himself, made a decision, this is what I'm going to do, and then, Dad, would you just hire me? I want a job. Verse 20, and he arose. He came to himself, made a decision, and then he acted on it. He arose and came to his father. Look at this. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow. Kind of makes you think the father was just checking every day. And the son said unto him, verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And oops, the father said, we're done. We don't need to talk anymore. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. In other words, restoring him back to his rightful position and authority as a son. And let's have a party. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry, just like the angels rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who was lost that repents, just like when the shepherd had the sheep. Now, verse 25, his elder son... was in the field. Remember, he had two sons? And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. It's like, what in the world? He called one of the servants and said, what these things meant? Asked him what these things meant. And he, the servant, said unto him, your brother is come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he, the older boy, was ticked off. He wasn't having any of this. Verse 28, he was angry and would not go in. I'm not going in. I'm having no part of that. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I often wonder, did he ask? Look at verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, didn't even call him his brother. He didn't say, yeah, as soon as my brother, as soon as your son was come, who has devoured your living with harlots. I got the word. He was with harlots. And has killed for him the fatted calf. I am not seeing this, Dad. And he, the father, said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You haven't lost anything. It was meet. It was right. It was necessary that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. The comparison in this third parable is the joy of a father upon the return of his son. It's like the joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Verse 32 says, he was lost and is found. And verse 24 says the same thing. Thy son was dead and was lost and is found. There are some people who wander and get lost and don't know what to do, like the little sheep that got lost. And the shepherd went out and found that lost sheep and brought him home. That one was just as important as the 99. So how important are you to God? Very important. There are some people through no fault of their own, like the piece of silver, get displaced, lost, and it takes someone to find them. Why? Because each one is important to God. Each one of us. And if someone intentionally walks away, they know they've walked away, but they also know the way back home. And waiting and watching for them to come back home is a wonderful, loving, and forgiving Father. Because again, each one of us is very important to God. Those arrogant, self-righteous, religious Pharisees and scribes did not understand God's great love for everyone. All they saw was those people are sinners and we're not. They didn't have a clue what Jesus Christ was doing, hanging out with sinners and eating with them. My goodness. They couldn't fathom the great rejoicing in heaven over just one that would repent. One more thing I want to point out to you is that parables are generally intended to basically make one important point and not take all the details of the story and make specific points out of them. But even though it's not the main point of the third parable, it's hard to overlook how the father treated his returning son. This could have been a much shorter parable. You know, one son left, got his inheritance, went, and came back home, and the father rejoiced. Could have been short, right? Jesus Christ had some really short parables sometimes, right? But that's what God had him share. And included in this parable, we see the great forgiveness of the Father and can't help but think about our Heavenly Father. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at verse 21 again. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Look at the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, and the sin consciousness that this boy had for what he did. He knew he's totally screwed up. And God, like we saw last week, God doesn't want us living with sin consciousness, condemnation, guilt, shame for what we've done, no matter what it is. He's faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins. And verse 22, but the father said to his son, but, in contrast to, I'm a total screw up. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. No. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. The father could have had a lot of different responses. You got a lot of nerve showing your face here. Could have said a lot of things. But, you know, it just, where it says that the father saw him afar off, had compassion, ran to him, and hugged him. Welcome home, son. Really cool. This loving father did not want his son to live the rest of his life in sin consciousness and condemnation and shame and guilt. Could have just said, okay, you can be a hired servant. Totally restored him back to his full authority as a son. Oh my goodness. And on top of it said, let's have a party too. Let's have a party. Get everybody going here. So the main point of these three parables was not forgiveness. That wasn't the main point. It was the joy and rejoicing over one who is lost, who is found, over one who repents, over one who comes to God. Main point. But our Father indeed has such great love and forgiveness for each of us. And when we need forgiveness, it's there. It's there. We can take advantage of it if we want. We go to Him and get forgiveness and accept it, because God doesn't want any of us going through life with shame and guilt over something we did in the past, even if the past was yesterday or 40 years ago. Because there are people who carry guilt over something that happened many years ago. And God doesn't want us living that way. And as we talked about last week, we can reach out to others with the love of God and God's forgiveness. That verse in Ephesians, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." So whether someone wanders and gets lost, or is lost or stranded through no fault of their own, or someone intentionally walks away from God, God loves each one of us. His love does not stop. It's unconditional. And each one of us is very important to God. And for us living after the day of Pentecost, having the joy of being born again ones, it's so clear reading in the church epistles that each one of us is very important and needed in the body of Christ. We are needed and necessary. And it says in Romans, for us that are born again, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing you do or don't do. And that would include sin. And these religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes, could not see that. If you're a sinner, you're scum. Move on. And Jesus Christ said, I am sent to the lost. And so today, in our day and time, for anyone that wants to come to God and His Word, doors open, Father's watching. When He sees us, come on, welcome on. Father, thank You for Your wonderful Word and for the great truths that You are a loving and forgiving Father. Thank You for the love that You have for us and that we can extend that love to others. Thank You, Father, for the forgiveness that You've given us and that we can forgive others. And thank You for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, for all that He did and all that He accomplished for us so that we could be Your sons and daughters. And I pray, Father, for everyone here and everyone on the phone hookup. And I pray, Father, for those that are not feeling so good today, for the healing they need. And Father, may we have a wonderful week ahead, loving more in 24 and forgiving more in 24, and just being mindful of Your great love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.